I'd like to thank our sponsor for today, Mrs. Holly Gross, again from Miami Beach Group at Or HaChaim. She shares the memory of her father-in-law, Rabbi Avraham ben Harav Yitzchak Mordechai, Zichrono Livracha, Shabbat Lilui Nishmato. I'd like to speak about the Chag of Shavuot. As we know, rabbis tell us that the name of something represents the essence of something. Therefore, when we want to try to understand what Shavuos is about, the best place to really examine the essence of the Chag, what the holiday, the spiritual components of the holiday is contained within, it's best to study the names of the holiday, and through the names and the different understandings of the names, we will have a deeper understanding of what our obligation, what our avoda, what our service on Shavuos is about. And that's one study that I'd like to do in Mirtz Hashem today. Simultaneous with that, I'd also like to take a look at, and there are obviously many, many answers, but some of the reasons why we have the custom to read Megillat Rut, the book of Rut, the scroll of Rut, on Shavuot. And I'd like to connect the two. There are really five names for Shavuos and only four chapters, so one we'll have to double over. But I'd like to do it by understanding, taking a look at an insight in each chapter, and from that insight understand why we read the book of Rut, and as well as from that insight to also glean an understanding of the name of Shavuos. And Mirtz Hashem, by the end of this year, I think we'll have a much deeper understanding, which we will, Mirtz Hashem, just further next week share on Shavuos, what our avoda, what our service to Hashem is all about. The first name I'd like to work through is the name that we have from our rabbis. It's a name that we use in the Machzor, and that is that Shavuos is the Zman Matan Taratenu in Source 2, the time of the receiving of the giving of our Torah. The first reason why we read the book of Rut on Shavuot that I'd like to discuss is one that Rabbi Eliyahu Kitov notes in Sefer Toda'ah, the book of our heritage. L'shvi Shavuotenu lo kiblu et ha-Torah v'lo nichnasu l'brit ela b'mila v'tfila k'din gerim. The Jewish people had to go through the same aspects as a ger, as a convert, in terms of immersion, in terms of bris mila. It's as if to say to Rut, who is the Ima Shal Malchut, the mother of royalty, you shouldn't feel out of place that you are a Giyore, that you are a convert, for in reality, on a certain level, all of us converted on the time of Matan Torah, on the time of receiving the Torah. And it's to make her feel as if she's part of this nation, that we're all converts, so to speak, and she shouldn't feel different or strange in any way. Let's try to examine this concept of geiros, of conversion, the concept of Zman Matan Torateinu, and what this geiros, what this conversion of Rut is all about. We know in source number 3, the Pasuk tells us that after Naomi decides to leave Moab, after her husband and two children died, and they lifted up their voice, and the two daughter-in-laws walked with her a bit on the way, and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, the Rut Dafka Ba, but Rut clung to her. Rabbi Foyer's Seasons of the Soul notes, at the crossroads of time and eternity stood two widowed sister-in-laws and a bereaved mother. The widows cried bitterly, moved more by compassion than by self-pity. And one, Orpah by name, kissed her sorrowful mother-in-law and turned her back to take the shorter path of time. Oref, her neck, she turned her neck, her back, on her mother-in-law. But Ruth embraced Naomi for all eternity. Orpah's tears did not dry and fade forgotten. The Almighty God counted them, they warded her future seed. In merit of the four seeds shed in the fullness of love and compassion, she is rewarded with four sons, all heroes and great warriors. The colossal Goliath was one. But the four brothers forgot their mother's tears and kisses and challenged their cousin of Israel. And the very famous Medrash said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the sons of the one who kissed shall fall into the hands of the one who embraced. And so they fell before David, the descendant of Rut. Great is the reward of a kiss, but greater is the strength of an embrace. The kiss was motivated by love and pity, but it was impulse. It was the uncontrolled response to an attraction, the unmeditated reflex action to a stimulus. It was limited by the fickleness of fluctuating emotion. It was terminated by time, aroused in a moment it subsided in a breath, swiftly kindled and swiftly sputtered to extinction. But continuing in sixth, Rut, however, was not seized by an urge. She seized the moment. She was not overwhelmed by the circumstances. She mastered it. One who is not helplessly captivated is not prey to easy release. Rut was not merely touched. She was forever converted, transformed to her very depth. No wonder then that the Titans fell before young David. The small David possessed his power. He was not possessed. Bound to the will of the Almighty, he held the strongest force. The giants were captives of time, no match for the boundless energy of the eternal. The kiss evokes no confidence. It's unstable and unsure. Is it any wonder that the Hebrew word for kiss, neshak, stems also from the Hebrew word for weaponry, neshak? The impulsive kiss can easily become a dagger of death, hence the expression, the kiss of death. Life is embraced. V'atem hadvekim v'ashem elokechem chayim kuchem hayom. What is the conversion of Rut if we were be able to distill it down into one phrase, into one concept? It's the idea of v'rut davka v'dvekos. V'atem hadvekim v'ashem elokechem chayim kuchem hayom. Hadvekos means to cling to recognize that there is no other reality but this reality, and you're ready to hold on to this truth at all costs. Hamavet yafrid b'nei uvenech, only death will separate us. Wherever you will go, I will go. Whatever you will do, I will do. That is the dvekus. That's the devek. That's the glue that Rut embodied in this particular conversion at this point. And this is what our rabbis speak about. Ashrei shelo yishkachecha, in Source 7, the Siftei Chaim brings. Mu'ushar ha'adam, praised is the person, shelo meisiach et dato ma'ashem yitbarach, that he never forgets Hashem. U'ben adam yit'ameitz bach, and a person will do all that they can to be davuk to Hashem. Vateire ki mitametze, Naomi saw that Rut was clinging to her with all her strength, that this was her only desire in life. And this likewise is the model and paradigm for us as well, to have one desire. Ashreish, praised is the person who never forgets Hashem, and their entire being is dedicated to doing the will of Hashem. This aspect of dvekus, of clinging, really became part and parcel of our heritage at Mamad Har Sinai, at the experience of the giving of the Torah. The Tur notes that, and the English brachos are in 8 and 9, in Source 9, that there is two brachos that we say every morning for Birkas HaTorah, to learn Torah. There's the bracha la'asok b'divrei Torah, the bracha to involve ourselves in Torah. And then there's a second bracha, which is the bracha of Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amim, that Hashem has chosen us from all the nations to give us the Torah. And the Tur notes, V'yechavein b'birkato, this bracha of Asher Bachar Banu, that Hashem has chosen us, we should have kavana al mamad har Sinai, on the experience of the giving of the Torah. Asher bachar banu mikol ha'umos ha'olam, that Hashem chose us from all the nations. V'kervanu lifnei har Sinai, and he brought us close to Mount Sinai, and he was able to give over in this loud voice from the fire his Torah HaKadosha, which is our entire lives. And this is what the Bach notes on the Tur, that the bracha of la'asok b'divrei Torah is the bracha that allows us to Birchas HaMitzvah that allows us to learn Torah. But the bracha of Asher Bachar Banu is the Birchas HaShevach. It's a bracha of praise to Hashem for giving us this Torah. And indeed, as we know in source number 8, one of the Sheish Zechiros, one of the six things that we need, it's incumbent upon us to remember every day, is the experience of Maman Har Sinai, the experience of receiving the Torah. This experience of receiving the Torah, this bracha we say every day, Asher Bachar Banu, that Hashem chose us from all the nations, was not just a technical Hechi Timsi, a technical medium for God to give us over the Torah, but rather, as we'll see in a moment in Mirtz Hashem, it was a transformative act. It was an act of dveikos, an act of clinging. The very famous question and debate among the Rishonim. We know that the introduction to Maamad Har Sinai is found in chapter 19 of the book of Shemot, and the Aseret Dibrot is found in chapter 20. And then we have the Mishpatim, the laws, and then in chapter 24 we once again go back to Mount Sinai and describe what occurred there. In source 11, Moshe wrote all the words of Hashem. He arose early in the morning, built an altar at the foot of the mountain, and 12 pillars for 12 tribes of Israel. He brought up certain offerings, and Moshe took half the blood and placed it in basins, and half the blood he threw upon the altar. And he read the book of the covenant, and the people said, Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do, and we will obey. So the question the Mefarshim ask is, what exactly did these sacrifices happened, which technically was the conversion, that they went through the process of having the blood sprinkled on them. So Rashi argues that this happened on the fourth day of Sivan, and Emukta Muchar B'Torah, that the Torah is not necessarily in chronological order. Indeed, chapter 24 belongs with chapter 19. Ah, why is it in chapter 24? That's a separate question to ask. The Ramban, however, disagrees. The Ramban says that these korbanos, these sacrifices, were brought the day after Maamad Har Sinai, that the text is in chronological order. So on this, Rav Soloveitchik asks the following question. He says, there's a controversy in 13 between Rashi and the Ramban. The event was considered total geirus. According to Rashi, the people were subjected to geirus, conversion, by means of the sacrifices before receiving the Torah. According to Rashi, it would be paradoxical to assume that the Torah was given to people who are not yet geirim, or new Jews, a status which they achieved by the participation and the sacrifices. However, the Ramban disagrees with Rashi. He declares that these sacrifices, this geirus, happened the day after the giving of the Torah, when the conversion took place on the seventh day by means of sacrifice. But then it's difficult to assume that the Almighty revealed himself to a people before they had a chance to become geirim. So according to Rashi, that these sacrifices which converted them to a higher level happened on the fourth day, it makes sense. But if we argue that it happened the day after on the seventh day, or the day after Maamad Har Sinai, how do we understand this? That first they were given the Torah and then they went through the conversion process? It doesn't seem to make sense. So in this, the Rav notes, he says in 14, that there were two different aspects that Moshe Rabbeinu emphasized in Maamad Har Sinai. First, there's the giving of the Torah, and second, there is the seeing of the Shechina. And that's what Hashem said. Hashem said, gather the people so they will believe in me all their days. If it were only the case of giving the law, Moshe could repeat it to them. However, it says the people will see that Hashem speaks with them from amidst a fire. Why is it necessary to emphasize that Hashem's words came out of the fire? It's not only to pass on to them the knowledge of the law, but the experience of meeting with Hashem, that every Jew was supposed to see and experience the thunder. And this is indicative of the Shechina. The holiday of Shavuos is not only the technical giving of the law, but it's the experiencing of the Shechina, which answers the famous question of what are we really celebrating on Shavuos when we got the Aseret HaDibrot, which we then subsequently were broken, and perhaps the Torah was given section over section Another machloket, what are we celebrating? If these luchos, these tablets didn't even last. What we're celebrating is this experiencing the Shekhinah. It's the ability of dveikus, of clinging, of coming close to Hashem. Thus, it was a double experience in 15 event at Mount Sinai. They beheld the vision of Hashem revealed as an elder and teacher teaching small children. And there was the experience of Mitoch HaEish. It is a day when every Jew experienced the presence of Hashem as if they could touch Him. This is what Hashem wants. Come as close as possible. This experience is a cleansing, cathartic power. Thus, the Ramban writes, the experience of Matan Torah, that the presence of Hashem touched every Jew on the shoulder. It redeemed and hallowed them and changed their personality, not the next day, but that very moment. This was Geirus, this was conversion itself. Ah, the technical aspect of conversion, that you're right, happened the next day. But when was the moment of conversion? The moment of conversion, like Beirut, is the moment Beirut Dafkapa. The moment of conversion is the moment of dveikus, it's the moment of clinging, it's the moment of feeling Hashem's presence on our shoulders. And this, my friends, has to be on level number one, the first avoda of Shavuos. When we call Shavuos the time of Zman Matan Torateinu, in our Kiddush, in our Tefillah, in our prayers, what we're saying is it's not only the time of the technical receiving of the Torah, it's the time wherein we felt Hashem's presence. It's the time that we understood emotionally, philosophically, spiritually, that there is no other alternative in this world but Ashrei Ishlo Ishkachecha. Praise is the person who never forgets God, who that experience was so transformative that it changed their whole lives. That was Geirus at this moment. This is celebrating the personality, the persona of Rut, who underwent a mini Har Sinai to a certain degree at this very moment. As Rav Aaron Soloveitchik points out, that the study of Torah by itself is not enough. Our Torah study must mold our personality. The Torah rules that a person who studies Torah without feeling compelled by it to act with compassion and respect not only defeats the purpose of Torah study, but does not even fulfill the commandment to study the Torah. And my friends, this is what Rav Pinkus speaks about, not in front of us, in his Sefer on Pesach, Sfiras Omer, and Shavuos. He speaks about the experience of Mamad Har Sinai is the experience of what we would call a panim el panim relationship, a face-to-face relationship. Shavuos is one of the three festivals that we did Aliyah L'Regel, that we went up to Yerushalayim. And the point of going up to Yerushalayim is to see God and to be seen by God. It's panim el panim, it's face to face. When you have a face to face relationship with somebody, it's a relationship of closeness. That is the goal of Shavuos, to feel that closeness to Hashem, to be able to think about that our learning of Torah is not just dry material, but the learning of Torah is learning that enables us to be people who are an Am Kadosh, a holy nation, a nation that strives to improve themselves, a nation that strives to feel emotionally that tveikus, that feeling of closeness to Hashem at all times of our lives, at all days of the year. And Shavuos just hones it and brings it to the fore, the importance of this panim el panim, this face-to-face, this close relationship that we experience at Mamad Har Sinai and we re-experience every year on Shavuos when we re-accept the Torah each and every year. If that's the first aspect of Shavuos, the transformation, the dveikus, the feeling close to Hashem, we now move to the second chapter. And we're going to do two names here and two aspects of Shavuos in this chapter. The first name is that it's called the Chag HaBikurim, the day that the first fruits were given, as well as Chag HaKatzir. It is called the day of the reaping when we brought in the food. Why do we read word on Shavuot? Because the Navi tells us, B'tchilak Sir Sa'orim, the story happened during the Katzir, the Avudram, the Rav Eliyahu Kitov brings down, If Avraham said, since it happened at the time of the Katzir, and the holiday is called the Katzir, the time of harvest, it's appropriate to read this particular Sefer. Let's try to understand perhaps a little bit deeper what is the connection between Rud and Shavuos on the second level. Let's continue in the storyline. Naomi and Rut come back to the land of Israel, and they're about to home call a ear. There's a complete uproar. Hazot Naomi, is this Naomi, this very regal royal lady who left, who's coming back in tatters and rags? And Naomi and Rut settle into Beit Lechem and really shunned by the community, and Rut has to go out and, like the poor people, to glean from the gleanings of the field. And Vayikar Mikra, it just so happened, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sashkacha, that Ruth lands up in the field of Boaz, and Boaz is extremely nice to her. He gives her a beautiful lunch, which she saves half of it for her mother-in-law, and comes home with a tremendous amount of food that Boaz asked them to purposely drop during the course of the day. So when she comes back home, the Navi tells us, English here is a little bit awkward, work with me, and she told her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man with whom I wrought today is Boaz, which the Rabachrach brings the Medrash, which says, it's taught in the name of Rabbi Yoshua, more than the householder does for the poor man does for the householder. For so Ruth said to Naomi, the man's name for whom I wrought. She did not say who wrought for me, but for whom I wrought. I wrought him many benefits in return for the one morsel of food that he gave me. The person, Ruth says, to whom I did a favor today is a man named Boaz. She doesn't say the person who did me a favor is Boaz. Well, isn't this odd? Did not Boaz do her a favor? What favor did she do Boaz? All she did was collect the gleanings. What does it mean when Ruth said, the person whom I helped today, rather than the person who helped me? So on this, Rav Bifos and Yaakov Lechatov points out that when Chazal say that more, that the ani, the poor person, does more for the balbas, for the owner of the house, than the opposite, it means the following. Ha'ani yeh b'nei bal habayit ha'notein asher darko somecha lo bracha. The ani should be in the eyes of the owner of the house as the giver, because through the ani, through the poor person, he gets tremendous bracha. V'loha mekabel kifishin yirim advarim l'charabim abachitzani. On the outside, when a guy knocks on your door, a meshulach comes at your door. So in our Western mind, we think the meshulach, this poor person, he is the receiver, and we who are giving him the $10, we are the giver. Our rabbis say no. We are the receiver, and the meshulach is the giver. What is he giving us? He's giving us nitzrius. He's giving us eternity. He's giving us the ability to fulfill a mitzvah. We are limited. We're just giving him $10. When you take a look at the transaction, who comes out far ahead in this transaction? The $10 or nitzrius or eternity? Obviously, eternity comes out much stronger. And that's why you almost hear the pleading, says Rav Bifos in 23. Boaz says, hello, shamat biti, al techi loko besadei acher, v'gam lo tavori mizeh. It's as if he's pleading with her, please don't go to another field. Please stay in my field. What we learn from the book of Rut, and this is another reason why the book of Rut is read, is that it doesn't teach us laws of Tumantara. It's here to teach us a schar tov legom lechasadim. It's here to teach us the reward for those who do acts of kindness. The book of Ruth is the book, it's a paradigm of what real chesed, of what real kindness is about, on many, many levels of kindnesses. Whether it's Ruth doing kindness to a mother-in-law, to her dead husband, Boaz with the kindness he does, there are many, many layers of kindness here. And there are many layers of how not to act, from Elimelech, from Orpah, etc. This is the book, par excellence of chesed. But the psukim that we're dealing with is one of the fundamental aspects of chesed. When we do a kindness to somebody, we have to recognize that we gained far more than they gained. They gained the kindness. We got nitzchius. We got eternity. It reminds me and with permission, I'm sharing this story, that, you know, sometimes your kids come up with such great lines that you just don't have a response for them. And I had such a mindset with Rachel, B'chaseh Hashem, last week, when she had a travel brochure to do on Norway, and she had a girl in the class come over the night before the assignment was due to use our computer to type it up. And the girl was here, not knowing how to type, you know, the PEC and method, for 3 hours, from 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock. And I kept on saying to Rachel, while this girl was here, because Ezu Chacham Aroet Anolad, that this girl's taking away 3 hours from your time. And sure enough, Rachel was up very, very late, those same 3 hours, finishing this paper. And when I got Rachel up the next morning, and I wasn't so happy because I stayed up for not all of it, part of it. And I said to Rachel, I said, you know, if you just realize, had you not had this girl using our computer, then you could have had those 3 hours earlier to do the report. And then, why they all do it at the last minute, that's a separate story. That we all know. That's not a chiddush. And then you could have gone to sleep by a normal hour instead of being up till 11 o'clock at night. So Rachel, who was half awake, obviously, when I woke her up to go to school the next day, said to me, Ima, the Norway project comes and goes, but the chesed of giving another girl the opportunity of using the computer is nitzchius, it's eternity. I don't for one moment have any regrets, because what I gained, so I lost some sleep, but I gained nitzchius, I gained eternity. That has to be our outlook on life. That has to be Ashrei Shelo Yishkachecha, that we have the perspective of Norway comes and goes, but nitzchius, eternity, is forever. This aspect of chesed, which is the major focus of the book of Rut, is really in sync and in line with the preparation that we do for the holiday of Shavuos. The Nesiv HaShalom, in source number 25, notes, Dinei inyan ha'achadna shekodem chag ha'shavuos lo matzinu kedugmato b'chol ha'torah b'shar yamin tovim. We do not find the same preparation that we find by Shavuos in any other experience of any other holiday from the Torah. Yes, from the rabbis we have 30 days called Elul. Yes, from Neurosis we have some people already from Hanukkah. Some people already starting now for Pesach cleaning for the next year. But that's what we've created. The only holiday from the Torah that we have preparation is Sheva Shabbatos Tamimos, 7 complete weeks, 49 days of counting. And then on top of the 49 days, we have the Shlosh Yimei Hagbolah, the 3 days of separation, 3 days of preparation, which Shemiras Hashem will talk about next week in more detail. We have all of this to be able to understand that Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. If you want to be able to receive the Torah, you have to be a mensch. You have to be a person who doesn't put themselves first. You have to be a person who imbibes chesed, who imbibes this characteristic of giving, of knowing the correct perspective in life. Why is it that Shavuos has such intense preparation, which we don't find in any other holiday? What is the essence of Shavuos on this level? So here, my friends, we come to really what Shavuos is all about. And notes the Nesiv HaShalom, V'omnam kol zeh, the preparation that we have to work on ourselves, we have to be Bali Midos, who Ekev Kedusha Sayom, is because of the Kedusha, the holiness of the day, Kino Ravi Ayom, because it's a tremendous awe. As the Ari HaKadosh says, that Shavuos is even higher than all the other Moadim. And as the Rav HaKadosh Meshmitz would say, that the Shavuos is even greater than Rosh Hashanah. Because Rosh Hashanah, there's a judgment, ala gashmiya shaloshana. At Rosh Hashanah, it's decided how much wealth, physical wealth, you'll have over the year. Uma erich yesh lan inyanim gashmiyim. And how much of the physical wealth will you have? Will you have a lot of money? Will you have a little money? How many pipes will break? How many flat tires will you have? How much will it rain? That's all decided on Shavuos. But harei Shavuos, that's all decided on Rosh Hashanah. But harei Shavuos, hu yom adin aruchani. But Shavuos is a spiritual Yom HaDin. Shabo Kovim Ekola Ruchnia Shalah Adam L'chol Shana. On Shavuos, it's decided the spirituality of a person for the whole year. And this is based on our rabbis that say, Batseret Nidonim Al Peres HaIlan. On Shavuos, we're judged for the fruit of the tree. And the Ilan is symbolic of Kutcha Brichu, of Hashem. And the Peres HaIlan are our neshama. And on Shavuos, we are judged. This is the Yom HaBikurim. This is the day of the Mincha Chadasha, of the new fruit. This is the day which we are being judged for our Ruchnias for the entire year. Shavuos is about recognizing, and it's a very powerful day, and we need to tap into this aspect, that Hashem is looking at each and every one of us on Shavuos and saying, where are you holding in your Ruchnias? Where are you holding in your spiritual relationship to Hashem? And based on where you are holding, based on what type of person you are, where your midos are at, this is the judgment of how much experience of ruchnias are you going to have during the course of the year. How many times are you going to daven and feel that dveikus, feel that clinging to Hashem? How many times are you going to learn Torah or come to a shir during the next year? How many Sunday mornings or Thursday night cookings are you going to be inspired in the course of the year? It's not, my friends, based on the teacher. Sorry, hate to break the news. Okay, somewhat. We all need Siyata D'Shemaya. But it's based on Shavuos. Shavuos opens a pathway of how many moments of inspiration are you going to have? Are each and every one of us going to have? How many moments of Dveikus? This is the Yom HaBikurim. This is the day of the first fruit. This is the judgment of the first fruit. We are the first fruit. We are being judged. It's the Yom HaDin. And that's why in Shavuos there has to be this simcha, this joy in being Avdei Hashem. Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu. How fortunate are we to be Avdei Hashem. And Shavuos, it's the time to show through our Siyas HaMitzvos, through our Siyas HaChesed, how Torah is so beloved to us, how the whole system of Yiddishkeit is so beloved to us. And based on how much we show this love and we show our desire to do Ritzon Hashem, the will of Hashem, to that extent we will be judged for a year of Ruchnias, a year where the pathways will be open for the spiritual connection to be ignited. And on this, the Siva Shalom takes us one step further. And he says, we know, the whole deeper of a deeper at every word that Hashem said, Parcha Nishmasan, their souls left them. And in a certain sense, they became like a Tinok Shenolat, like a newborn infant. And likewise, this happens with each and every one of us. When the Torah tells us, V'yikraftem Mincha Chadasha L'Hashem, we should bring a new first fruit to Hashem. This is our job on the Chag HaKadosh, the asterisk in 26. Shudi Yitchadesh Bo Kibriya Chadasha. You have to make yourselves new on Shavuos. Kilo Nolad Mechadash. This is the Yitzum HaShayom. The Yom HaBikurim is the Yom Hitchachos. This is the day of renewal. And this is what it means. V'asad Chem says, the Rav HaKadosh Min Berdichev, this is what it means, V'esatchem al kanfei nisharim, that God carried us on the wings of the eagle, based on what we say in the Tehillim. We say, Titchadesh kanesha nuraychi, we should be rejuvenated like the eagle. What is about the eagle? When the eagle sheds its feathers, it then puts on new ones. This is the way we need to be. On Shavuos, Am Yisrael has to lasir matzmo b'zeh chag hakadosh et kol avaro hayashan v'litchadesh kibirya chadasha. Shavuos is about becoming newborn again. Shavuos is a day of Yom Hadin. It's a day of judgment. It's a day of tshuva. It's a day to say what was, was. And now I shed the old, and I'm now putting on the new, the feathers, the ability to fly, the ability to be like a bird, to soar. Yes, there's so much in my past that has weighed me down. Yes, there's so many failures in life. There's so much anger. There's so much disappointment. There's so much of all of that. Why should I move further? Comes along Shavuos and says, Parchad Nishmasam. Their souls left them. They became anew, rejuvenated. Just look at the now, the here and now. That's our challenge on Shavuos as well, to be able to look ourselves as reborn, as rejuvenated, as starting afresh, starting anew, starting as a Mincha Chadasha. We are the ones who bring this Mincha Chadasha. We bring ourselves to Hashem and say, Hashem, I want to start on a fresh slate. Hashem, I want to be able to now dedicate myself, but totally, to your Ratzon. That's the second aspect of Shavuos. So if the first aspect of Shavuos is Dveikus, is clinging to God, the second aspect of Shavuos is the Yom HaDin, is the Day of Judgment, it's a day of preparing ourselves for this Day of Judgment, and recognizing our Ruchnius, our whole spirituality of the year is based on this day or these days, and our job is to rejuvenate ourselves as if we are new. Now we move to the next name of Shavuos, Shavuos itself, Chag HaShavuot. And I'd like to take a look at another reason why we read Shavuos on, wrote on the book on Shavuot, as we'll see within this answer. So let's continue on within the story. We have the end of the harvest season, and Ruth, Naomi says to Ruth, I want you to wash yourself so sturdy and anoint yourself and put your clothing on you and go down to the threshing floor, but make not yourself known unto the man until he has done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lies down that you shall make the mark the place where he lies down, and you shall go in and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. Now, this is very, very strange. Ruth, Naomi, personifications of sneos, of modesty, is going to the threshing floor and lying down at the feet of another man. What is going on here? What is Naomi asking her to do? I understand, technically, as the story continues, when Boaz nearly has a heart attack by Yilah Faith, and he sees this woman on the threshing floor, Ruth says to him, you are my nearest kinsman, you can redeem me. And Boaz swears to her, I will. And you know, she sleeps there the night, and the next morning, they get married. So Rav Bachrach points out, it may be difficult for us to comprehend fully the purity and holiness of the idea. It's therefore incumbent upon us to attune our minds to its purity and innocence in the manner that our rabbis have understood its import. Two women sacrifice themselves for the sake of the tribe of Yehuda, Tamar and Ruth. And we know by Tamar as well that she goes by the wayside on Timnah, and Yehuda somehow is forced to be with her. And she gives birth to the twins, Zerach and Peretz, from whom the Davidic line comes from. So it's also very strange. We have these two stories of women doing things that are a bit what we call uncharacteristic of Jewish women. So the very beautiful insight of Rav Schwab in Mayan Ben HaShoeva, and where he asks our question, this is Hefech HaSinus Mamish in 33. This is against all aspects of proper etiquette. So he says, "Vulai Shlomar." Perhaps we can say that Naomi knew the Ruach HaKodesh in divine understanding that the Melech HaMashiach was going to come, the Messianic King was going to come from this marriage of Boaz and Ruth. And she also understood that there was some type of pagam, some type of something not 100% in the family line from the whole experience of the way Tamar and Yehuda got married. And we know the Rambam, Maimonides, tells us, so what is tshuva gemura, full tshuva? It's when a person is in the exact same situation and doesn't do what he did originally. Although we don't have the same characters, what Naomi wanted to happen was she wanted to put another member of the tribe of Yehuda in the same position that Yehuda himself was, i.e. Boaz, i.e. a beautiful woman. And here, Boaz would contain and control himself until the next day where he could marry her appropriately and properly. And in this way, by Boaz not doing anything to Ruth that night, that would be the tikkun and the rectification that was needed in order to be able for Boaz and Ruth to get married and ultimately have the Davidic dynasty. And this is indeed what he says, that Boaz, our rabbis tell us, Kavashet Yitzro, he was able to conquer his inclination, V'lo ba'aleha b'li chupa v'kedushin, and did not come near Rut without marriage, V'nasai deizir tikun gadol l'masei Yehuda v'tamar, and this was a great rectification to the story of Yehuda and Tamar, V'az hayu ruyim sheitzei mechalotzei melech HaMashiach, and therefore they were worthy to have Melech HaMashiach come from them. What is the name Shavuos about, and how does it connect with this idea? So Nesiva Sholom explains, based on the Orach Chaim HaKadosh in 38, the Chag HaShavuot, which we normally translate as weeks, could also be understood from the concept of Shvua, which means to swear. It's a holiday where two oaths are going on. We swear to Hashem that we will serve Hashem b'chol lev, with all of our heart, u'b'chol nefesh, with all of our soul, u'b'chol ma'od, with all of our being, or as Lubavitcher Rebbe points out, with all our aboveness, with all our beyondness. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu swears to Klal Yisrael, shelo yachlifeinu b'uma acheret, that he'll never switch us with another nation. This is the Yom Chatunato, the day of the marriage. This is Matan Torah. This is a day wherein we each swear to each other this loyalty. And the Siva Shalom notes that there are certain times that we have as part of us our Yetzer, our inclination, that gets the better of us. And it's hard to be able to swear that I'm going to serve God with my whole soul, my whole being, with all my possessions. The Rashi translates b'chol ma'ot. And sometimes, even though we perhaps don't go to this extent, but sometimes Chazal say you have to be mamish nishba l'yitzro. You have to swear to your yitzer and take an oath that you will not do that which is blocking you in your avodas Hashem. Why do we read Rut on Shavuos? The asterisk in 39, mishum de'ayriba me'inyan boaz, because we have Boaz who swore to his yitzer. Boaz was able to control himself and not get near Rut. And this was his mincha chadosha. This was his gift that he gave to Hashem. And likewise, we and Shavuot, if not the technical swearing, we have to be aware within ourselves, what is it that blocks us from being able to have this pure relationship with Hashem, be able to know ourselves well, and be able on Shavuot to say, I know that this is something that blocks me. I know that this is a ma'ake, this is something that holds me back. And I'm working on, and I'm going to go beyond this on Shavuos, that my dedication and my declaration of oneness with Hashem is going to be absolutely complete. That's what Chag HaShavuos is about. It's about this ability to swear, even though not technically, emotionally, and saying, I recognize Hashem, there's nothing but you, and any part of me that may get in my way, my love of money, you know, is greater than my love of Hashem, or whatever it may be, my love of Lashon Hara is greater than God's will, whatever Avera may be, you know, or Averos, that may be the sticking points in our side. Shavuos is the time to say, I'm going to work on myself. I'm going to have a concerted effort to really be somebody who's going to be able to be miskaber, who's going to be able to overcome, that Shavuos, there's going to be nothing blocking me between me and Hashem. Which then brings us to the highest level of the name of Shavuos, which is Chag HaTzeret, the time where we are atzur, we are closed up with, we stop and have this intimate relationship with Hashem. The final reason that we're going to give, obviously there's many more for Shavuos, source 40. Lefish Megillat Rut Nechtavas is Rabbi Eliyahu Kitov, based on the Bechor Shor, Ayide Shmuel Hanavi. The book of Rut was written by Shmuel, the prophet, Leachesed David Amel Shavami Rutam Ovia, to teach us that where David Amelah came from, his origin was from Rut, that this was something accepted by heaven. And that's why the end of the Megillah talks about the Yichus on how David HaMelech was born. And David HaMelech was born and died on Atzeret. So the book of Rut, which is the book of the genealogy of David HaMelech and David HaMelech's birthday and Yortzeit is Shavuos, it's only appropriate to read this Sefer. This leads us to the last aspect of what Shavuos is about. At the end of chapter 3, and it really goes into chapter 4, we have Ruth saying to Boaz, Boaz saying to Ruth, I will marry you. And before he says that to her, he measures out 6 barleys and places it upon her and sends her home. And then we have chapter 4, that they go to the Shaar Ha'ir, and there is a closer relative, and the closer relative does not want to redeem Ruth. Boaz does, is willing to redeem Ruth. They get married. They have a son named Oved, who is the grandfather of David HaMelech. What is the significance of the 6 barleys? So Chazal note in 43, quoting the Shemi Shmuel, the unusual nature of this present, and observe the following. Is it the way of a king to give only 6 barley grains? And it can't mean that it gave her 6 measures of barley, as a woman is incapable of carrying such a load. Therefore, it must have been a symbolic gift. Rabbi Yehuda by Rabbi Shimon said, in the merit of this gift, 6 tzaddikim descended from Ruth. David, Chizkiyahu, Yoshiyahu, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah. The last 3 are counted as 1. Daniel and Melech HaMashiach. What's the significance of Boaz giving out 6, you know, reigns and having to do with these personalities that came out of this marriage? So he knows, quoting the Kutzker Rebbe, the Shemi Shmuel, that the Klal Yisrael did not inherently possess the ability to establish a malchus, a royal house, with the capability of functioning as a Jewish king. They had to import this potential from Ammon and Moab, their neighbors. Ruth, the progenitor of the house of David, was from Moab. The simple explanation of this is that Yisrael possessed an intrinsic tendency for unity. The result of this is that no one person could or needed to establish himself as the ruler over the other. One could compare this to human body, which is nonsensical to claim that the arm could rule over, for example, the ear. But if we take a look at Moab, for example, we see that its beginnings come from its very name to the act how Moab was born. Me'av, from the incestuous relationship that Lot had with his daughters. They are not ashamed to broadcast their sordid beginnings with every mention of their name. Indeed, we find that Yeshayahu describes them as following. We heard the pride of Moab. They are very proud. Their pride and arrogance and their conception are improper. Moab is suffused with pride and haughtiness, and we can reasonably say that this is the very essence of the nation. Although this may be a bad trait, but without a little of it in its kosher guise as a Torah Malchus, the kingship could never exist in Klal Yisrael. David HaMelech was descended from Ruth HaMoavia, hence part of his spiritual makeup was inherited from Moab. And this is a characteristic of having some of this character of pride in the right way. And if you take a look in Source 46, this is a component that David HaMelech's predecessor lacked. Shaul, when he was supposed to be Shaul HaMelech, king, where was he? He was Nechbala Kelim. He was hiding. And when people didn't honor him when he was inaugurated again, he was Vayakim Acharish, Vayikim Acharish. Oh, it's okay. It's not okay. It is okay because it's a great Jewish quality. I'm not greater than you. I'm hiding. But to be a melech, to be a king, you need some of this. And therefore, David HaMelech had to come from Ruth, had to come from Moab, who was able to obviously channel this in the proper way, a certain positive arrogance, a certain positive pride, that you know your place and you know the feeling of honor. Now, here's the key. Boaz, 47. The Holy Arizal showed that the name Boaz can be broken down into 2 words. Bo, in him, as, is strength. This conveyed the fact that Boaz knew he had the potential latent within him to bring forth the 6 tzaddikim mentioned in the Medrash above. When he gave Ruth the 6 symbolic grains of barley, he indicated that he relinquished this power and instead handed it over to her, the exact opposite of Elimelech, who said, Elimelech, the Malchut is mine. Boaz had this strength of character, who says, I know I should be the progenitor of Malchus, but I know, Ruth, that Klal Yisrael needs it from you. I'm giving it over to you. It's important to note that at this stage in the relationship, Boaz had no idea whether or not he would actually end up marrying Ruth. There was a living relative close to them, Boaz, who could have chosen to marry Ruth when she redeemed her late husband's property. However, Boaz ignored this, realizing that it was in the best interest of the Jewish people for the Malchus to come from Moab via Ruth. Thus, he was prepared to sacrifice his potential to be the progenitor of the whole Davidic line, including that of the Mashiach himself, for the national good. Boaz realized that the line of David must begin with the Moabite trait of pride, refined and developed for the Jewish youth, and he saw that Ruth embodied these characteristics. But, this is the beauty, in 49, says the Shem Yishmor, this act of Boaz was a gesture of the finest altruism. It must have taken tremendous strength of character to be able to overcome his personal desire and to be able to give this over to Ruth. However, it's this sort of altruism coupled with this pride of Ruth, of Moab, that together needed to build the Jewish people. And this is the moment when the Malchus of David is born, when you take the altruism of Boaz and you mix it, you combine it with this kosher guise of pride of Moab. This, my friends, is the name Atzeret. Atzeret is about, like Shmini Atzeret, it's the time that Hashem says to Jewish people, I want you to stay with me. We will be able to celebrate this time together. Shavuos is a time of nisuin. It's a time of marriage. The kaf aleim har kigigis, God hanging the mountain over their head, is the chuppah. The dveikus of atzeret is the yichud, is the oneness with Hashem. This oneness that Boaz and Ruth personify, the ability to come together in almost a seamless entity, that's what we need to have when we are dealing with our relationship with Hashem, that we're able to recognize this ability to withhold and hold back our negative characteristics, and we're able to understand that the pride that we have is the pride in being Avdei Hashem. It's about recognizing that there is nothing greater than being this relationship, this closeness with Hashem. What Shavuos is about, what Atzeret is about, is to stop. It's to be able to spend this 24, 48 hours with the Kadosh Baruch Hu without interruption, without anything having us be taking our focus away from this time of closeness. It's a time where it's not only, as we began with, the physical giving of the Torah, but it's the entire essence of our being. It's the model of Boaz who gives up entire self to Ruth. Boaz within him is strength. It's about us examining ourselves and being able to recognize what is really important in life. What is life all about? Where is my focus in life? What do I want from life? What does it mean to have a relationship with Hashem? What does it mean to be married to Hashem? What does it mean to spend time within Hashem's Dalet Amos? What does it mean to have a Yontif meal? That's the reflection of Shavuos. It reminds me of certain insight I once gave to a student who was thinking about coming back for a second year or not. And it was a specific case, and obviously every case is different, where I said to this young lady, I said, when we first moved into this apartment, we had fish, and the fish lasted 4 days. I said, why did the fish last 4 days? I said, because fish aren't like cats and dogs. Cats and dogs, when they're hungry, they growl, they tell you. Fish are silent animals. You don't hear them. I said to her, in life, you can't make your soul like a fish. You can't be silent. That is what Shavuos is about. Listen to your soul. Be able to awaken. What is your feeling toward a Kadosh Baruch Hu about? What does it mean to have this dveikus, to have this nisuin? What does it mean to be married to God? How does it affect your day in, day out life? These are the questions we have to ask ourselves. And it's interesting, Rav Pinkus notes in the Sefer, on Shavuot, that there are three times in the Jewish calendar year that there's a tremendous eid ratzon, a time of favor. It's every Shabbos afternoon we say, Vanitfilati lecha Hashem eid ratzon. It's the shalshutas time. It's the ruah deruah, the ratzon of ratzon, desire of desire. It's ne'ilah on Yom Kippur. And the third time that's brought down in the Sfarim is Musaf on Shavuos. Musaf, the additional prayer on Shavuos, is the time of the tremendous divine favor. But based on what we've seen, it makes so much sense. Because Shavuos, we're not only celebrating receiving of the Torah, we're celebrating the dveikus with Hashem, the clinging to Hashem. We're celebrating the transformation that overcomes us as we have the judgment of all of our spirituality. This is Yom HaBikurim. This is the day of the first fruit where we bring new fruit. It's a day of a shvua. It's a day of swearing that we want to be dedicated in our entire being to Hashem. It's a day that we don't allow our souls to be like the fish. We are married to Hashem. We spend this time so closely. We understand what it means to have this special relationship with Hashem. When we are able to give ourselves after this 49-day preparation with this feeling of closeness, and all we want is this relationship, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to us by the Musaf of Shavuos. It says this is an eight ratzon where the heavens are open and whatever you ask will be responded. Mirtz Hashem, we will continue to develop these ideas a little bit more deeply next week, also on the Inyan of Shavuos.